talking about the simplicity of the gospel. And we focused on 2 Corinthians 11:3. We'll be hopping around all throughout the scriptures today, so if you want to follow along, that'd be great. The gospel of Christ is very, very, very simple. It has to be, first of all, because we are simple creatures. Even as simple as it is, there's no way to truly understand it or believe it without the Spirit of God opening your eyes. Even as simple as it is. And the other thing is, it has to be this simple, because there is only one answer to the question. And that's what we're talking about today. So if there's only one answer, that's pretty simple. So today, again, I'm going to talk about that very short Bible verse. I hope to show how simple the gospel of Jesus Christ is. A couple of illustrations. I'm going to try to keep even the way that I present this pretty simple, which is pretty easy for me. So for kids, even, this is going to be pretty simple. I'm going to keep this pretty easy to understand, because it really is. So picture a couple of illustrations just to understand simplicity. First, the definition of simple means basically not hard to understand, not confusing, not complex, having one answer or part to it, just one. It doesn't get any more simple than one. So in illustration, imagine we're taking a test, kids or adults, not my favorite thing to do, but imagine you're taking like a multiple choice test. Familiar with that, except these tests that we're talking about today, instead of having a bunch of questions with a bunch of answers to choose from, okay, there's just one question and there's only one answer. So that's pretty simple, right? Can't get it wrong. There's only one answer and it's right. So how simple is that, right? Very, very, very simple. The only question only has one choice for an answer instead of multiple choices. It's a single choice question. There's only one answer, and it's the correct answer. All you have to do is circle it. Even if there were 100 questions on this test, but if all of them had the same one choice, pretty simple, right? Can't get it wrong. So what if there was another test that had one question, but had like 20 answers to choose from? That'd make it harder. Yeah, right? It's not as simple. That's complex. So whenever you have something that's as simple as one or multiple choices, it's just simple and complex, okay? So same here, if there were many questions, but they all had tons of answers to choose from, that would also be complex. By definition, complex is not simple. Here's another example, okay? Glass of water. I was gonna have one, and I forgot. Glass of water. It's very, very simple, very easy to describe, right? It's just water in a glass, okay? What if you take, and we've used this illustration before, but in case you haven't heard it, what if you take one drop of food coloring and put it in that water? It's no longer simple, right? It's a lot harder to describe. It made it complex. You put a couple different colors in there, and it even gets more confusing, more hard, more difficult to describe and understand. So that glass of water is super simple. It's just one item. Very easy to understand, very easy to grasp. You add anything to it, and it becomes complicated, complex. So, now let's read the verse that I read earlier. So in 2 Corinthians 11:3, it says, "But I am afraid that just as Eve was deceived by the serpent's cunning, your minds may be somehow led astray from your sincere and pure devotion to Christ." And like I said in other versions, it says that your minds should be corrupted from the simplicity, simple, that is in Christ. Okay? So the Greek word for simplicity in this verse means singleness, exclusiveness. I got the Greek meaning from this, and Joe's notes, because he was really good at that. So anyway, the Greek definition for the word that is used for simplicity here means sing, singleness or exclusiveness? Exclusiveness means like one, okay? Only one. That's what they're talking about when he says that you should be corrupted from the singleness or the exclusiveness that is in Christ. He is divine, Christ. He is not complex. The truth about him is very simple. Jesus is God. He is divine. He was born of a virgin, crucified, and raised from the dead. And that's the simplicity of the gospel right there. But Paul says, but I'm afraid you're being corrupted away from this singleness and exclusiveness in the truth, this singleness in Christ. And now, this is just as much for adults as it is for kids. Because I deal with this constantly, and I think we all do. And you see it a lot throughout the world right now, especially in modern-day Christianity. They love to complicate things in a lot of different ways. And it's absolutely mandatory that the gospel remains simple. It's not just a good idea. It is absolutely mandatory for the gospel to be the true gospel, to remain simple, to have one answer. One. No other answers. So Paul here is saying, I'm scared for you. I'm afraid that the devil, the accuser of men, we've known him as, says about him in the scripture, is going to get you to start thinking that there is more to being saved than Christ. Exclusively Christ. Paul feared that they would start complicating it and adding to the simple message of Christ, adding a drop of food coloring to the water or adding a couple extra options for your questions. So that's what Paul was talking about here, the simplicity of Christ, to hold on to that. Kate showed me a song a while back by a guy named Zach Williams. I don't know him at all, so I'm not advocating for any of his other songs. I'm not necessarily advocating for this song, but it really spoke to us. It says fear is a liar, that's the name of it, but it basically fear, if you remove the word fear and put in the devil, it is pretty accurate in what the scriptures mean when they talk about him being the accuser of men. You know, so many people in modern day, they think of the devil as the guy who makes bad things happen, and that's just simply not true. Our God controls everything. His flood was not because of the devil. Joe's passion was not because of the devil. We all know that. But for you young people, that's not how it works. God takes care of everything. He brings all the stuff that makes us happy. He brings all the stuff that makes it difficult. But it's all good. It might not be easy. It might not be pleasant. But it's all for the good of our souls. So, the song, I'm just going to read a few lines from it because I really enjoy it, especially if you change the words, maybe it really changes. Keep in mind that he's talking about is the devil. When he told you you're not good enough, when he told you you're not right, when he told you you're not strong enough, and that you need to put up a good fight, when he told you that you're not worthy, when he told you that you're not loved, when he told you that you're not beautiful, and that you'll never be enough, when he told you that you're troubled, you'll forever be alone, when he told you you should run away, and you'll never find a home, when he told you you were dirty, and you should be ashamed, when he told you you could be the one that grace could never change, that last line especially. That's the accuser of men, to put doubt in the hearts of believers. That's what he tries to do. To tell you, yes, grace is free, but man, you keep pushing it, don't you? Every day, you don't make those changes that you swear you're going to. You don't get any better. Matter of fact, it seems like you might be even getting worse. Really think this grace is good enough for you? Maybe you should do a little bit more. Maybe you should put a little bit more effort in. Maybe you should, you know, help people they're good things to do. So nobody looks at it in a negative way. But these are the things that people start to add to the water. These are the things that people start to include in their salvation. When I talked about that question earlier, a single question with a single answer, there's really only one question that matters. How do you stand before God? You stand before God. How does He look at you? That's all that really matters. All these other questions in life, yes, Christ is the answer to all of them, but that question is what truly matters. Are you saved or are you condemned? And there's only one answer, and it's Christ. And that's it. One answer. Super simple. But all these other things that the accuser of the brethren puts in your heart, puts in your mind, makes you doubt yourself and makes you look at yourself in the first place. You look at yourself, you're only going to find out. There's nothing here that's going to breed confidence. So he'll make you turn around and he'll look at the aspects of your life and the decisions you make, the failures, the continuous falling, and make you think you have to do a little bit more. You need to add a little bit to that water. And that's what Paul is talking about here. He's afraid that you'll forget about the simplicity of Christ. It's just that simple. All we need is Jesus. There is nothing we can add to it. Nothing we can take away. He is all we need. So again, he loves to plant these accusations. You better get to work. You better start putting a little more time in. You better help more people. You better improve. You better volunteer. All these things that if you actually do them from a good place, they're great things to do. But the minute we put any type of stock in them, they become a problem. So this is what Paul was talking about when he wrote, as the serpent beguiled Eve through his subtlety, so your minds should be corrupted by the simplicity that is in Christ. These little thoughts turn into what feels like necessary additions to the blood of Christ. But Christ paid it all. But I keep feeling like I'm falling and I need to do more. Those are just little accusations. Christ is all we need. But I keep seeing how I fall short over and over. Grace is great, but man, I just keep failing. It is finished. But I need to keep working to at least feel better about myself. These phrases very seldom cross the lips of modern-day Christians. They don't say these things out loud. But these words are in their hearts and in their teachings. They can't rest. They need to keep moving. And they need to add to the water. They need a few more choices on that test. And all the questions in life, talk about one question that really matters. And there is only one that really matters, but we go through a lot in our lives. Obviously, we've been through a lot in the last 3 months. And a lot of questions come up. Dealing with church, dealing with your personal lives, dealing with health, dealing with things in your head, you know, everybody's got their own struggles, and there are questions that you're going to deal with, and guess what? There is still only one answer. I mean, I have a hard time remembering that, but there really is one place determined for everything, and he will work you through it. He'll get you what you need, and I don't know what that looks like. We don't understand what we need. We don't know what we need. We think we do. God actually does. So as we go through difficulties, as we go through happy times, hard times, we can turn to Him with everything and know He is going to take care of us in exactly the best way possible. And we can trust that. And we do. We have to. So then there's a couple questions. Is there any other way for you to pay for your sins to God other than Christ? So we're going to try to keep this simple. And we know that Christ's blood is the answer to our salvation question. So we look, is there any other possible way? Well, Well, let's look through the scriptures. That's where the answers are. So turn to Acts 4, verse 11. I didn't mark anything, so it would take me just as long to get there as you guys. I have that habit of starting to read before you're ready. Acts 4, 11. So the question is there any other way for you to pay for your sins to God other than Christ? Verse 11 of Acts 4. He is the stone you builders rejected, which has become the capstone. Salvation is found in no one else, for there is no other name under heaven given to men by which we must be saved. Simple. Once again, is there any other way to have your sins paid for? No. Salvation is found in no one else. I mean, it is so simple. It's beautiful. I'm so grateful that it's simple. Again, the answer there is no. Christ did it all. Christ came to this earth. Christ kept God's law perfect. Christ died in the place of his people. Christ's work was accepted by God. That's the key right there. Christ's work was accepted by God. Christ rose from the dead and is now seated at the right hand of God in heaven. Christ did it all. Turn to Romans 8:34. Just confirming once again that Christ did it all. Who is he that condemns? Christ Jesus, who died. More than that, who was raised to life, is at the right hand of God, and is also interceding for us. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? He did it all, and right now he is at the Father's right hand, interceding for us. How can those people be condemned when the Lord of all creation is interceding for his people? He can't fail. God loves him. Because of that, everyone he's interceding for will be loved as well. So the next question is, so if you need to be saved from your sin and guilt from being a breaker of God's law, then the simple, or no, nice question, sorry. Christ did, and sorry, I missed my spot. So just to confirm that, again, Christ, you need to be saved from your sin and guilt from being a breaker of God's law, then the simple gospel message of Christ alone is good news. The gospel. Christ did. He provided everything a sinner needs. Turn to 1 Corinthians 1. Verse 3. So again, to confirm, Christ did and provided everything a sinner needs. It is because of him that you are in Christ Jesus, who has become for us wisdom from God, that is our righteousness, holiness, and redemption. Therefore it is written, let him who boasts, boast only in the Lord. It's very simple once again, that he that is our redemption, our righteousness, holiness, and redemption, are in Christ. Everything we need is in him. Matter of fact, it even says, if you're going to boast, the only thing you can boast in is Christ. Again, simply, one answer. We have nothing to boast in. Not in ourselves. We have everything to boast in Christ. Next question, do we need to keep the law? Nope. Turn to Romans 10. Verse 4. Romans 10, verse 4. Christ is the end of the law, so that there may be righteousness for everyone who believes. Again, these answers. answers are so simple. Do we need to keep the law? No. Christ is the end of the law, so that there may be righteousness for everyone who believes. If you believe in Jesus, that's all you need. Now, that, of course, that doesn't mean you go off and just care about the law. You don't know better than that. If you're a saved individual, you will know better than that. You understand the weight of every sin. They don't count, but they matter, as Joe always said. But they certainly don't count, not against our record, because our record is clean, because Christ paid for it. Christ wiped it clean with his blood. Turn to Galatians 2. Do we need to die for our sins to pay for them? No, we all know the answer to that, but we're going to look. Galatians 2:16. We need to die for our sins to pay for them. He himself bore our sins in his body on the tree so that we might die to sin and live for righteousness. By his wounds, you have been healed. Again, every answer is Christ. He has done it all. He is everything we need, and he is all we need. He is the one answer. Very, very simple. Very grateful for that. So, do God's people need to make a decision that Christ died for them or accept Jesus into their hearts in order to make Christ's work apply to them? No. First of all, Christ's offering and sacrifice wasn't offered to us. When you think about it in the Old Testament, all those offerings, were any of those offerings, those burnt offerings, made to individuals? Every one was made to God. Every offering, every sacrifice was made to God. Why would Christ's sacrifice be made to anyone but God? It's not our position to accept anything. It wasn't made to us. This was an offering and a sacrifice specifically to his Father, because that is where the debt was owed. We weren't owed anything. We were the owers. We're the debtors. We're not in a position to accept or approve what's been done for us. So no. We don't have to make a decision. We don't have to accept Jesus. He has done it. He gave it freely. He gave it to his Father on our behalf. And it was accepted because God loves Jesus. And he loves everyone that Jesus represents and that he paid for their sins. It's called grace. It's the whole idea. Unmerited favor is what grace means. Undeserved in every way, but given nonetheless. That means God's people didn't do anything to earn being saved from their sins. That means God's people didn't decide they wanted to be saved from their sins. Turn to Romans 9. We didn't make a decision. We didn't accept God's work or Jesus' work to make it effectual. It was long before we were even created that these things happened. Again, Romans chapter 9, we'll start at verse 13. It's just as it is written, Jacob have I loved, and Esau have I hated. What shall we say then? Is God unjust? Not at all. For he says to Moses, I will have mercy on whom I have mercy, and I will have compassion on whom I have compassion. It is completely according to the will of God. He has chosen his people, and he will save every one of them. And it is not up to us to let that happen. being saved from their sins was a free gift from God to his people. God purely loves them, every one of them, because he loves Christ. And Christ died for them. Christ is the only reason that God's people are saved. That's it. The only answer. The only reason that anyone is saved. And the only reason that every single one of God's people are saved is because of Jesus. It is not complicated. We don't need to do or add anything. It is finished. It's complete. And it's perfect. So you can trust Christ as the answer for every question. You can trust Christ for everything. That's very, very simple. And that's the simplicity and the beauty and the necessity of the simplicity of the gospel. It's simple for us to understand, and it absolutely has to be simple, because the only answer to make this the true gospel is Christ. Our Father in heaven, we thank you so much for bringing us together again this morning. We thank you most of all for Christ. We thank you that this beautiful gospel, this beautiful good news that you share with your people, takes all of the responsibility off of us, because we simply couldn't do it. And you tell us to take your yoke, which is easy, and rest. As hard as that is for us, because we love to add, we know that there's nothing to add. Christ has done it all, and we can rest comfortably, confidently, in the work that he has done perfectly and finished completely. We thank you, Jesus, for every aspect of all of your blessings, but most of all, Lord, we love you, and we thank you for saving your people. We pray all this in Jesus' name. Now